And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about. Great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joseph, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Oh, a little tired, but well worth it. As the Warriors go up 1-0 on Minnesota. However, a little worried about Steph.
Yeah, we think he's going to be okay?
Well, I mean, a hamstring. He's having an MRI today. Hamstring strain. What does that mean? Well, one thing it means is he will not play in the next game. I think they should just sit everybody. Just lose by 50 and then just, you know, take that
take
split,
it back home.
Take it back home. He won't do that. But, I mean, Jimmy Butler's out there looking like me, too, a little bit. Old man, you know, jogged down the floor. So, you know, they're
walking
old,
wounded.
They're hanging on, man. That's a big win.
Big win on the road.
I don't know what Minnesota was doing other than throwing up bricks, but good win.
They could not shoot last night. There is no doubt about that. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks. Can't complain about these playoffs so far. Both the hockey and the NBA have been pretty good.
Yeah, really have been. I mean, how about Halliburton? That shot last night for the Pacers. Cleveland maybe in some trouble. They're down 0-2. Now they're going on the road.
I mean, I don't know how. I still don't understand how they blew that. I mean, the shot was, but like even to get to the point where there was a shot that mattered is insane. Can't even inbound the ball as an NBA team.
It's a tough look.
Wild. Yeah, but it's you know, the Athletic recently did a player survey, and he came in first for the most overrated player
in the
league. And so now the fans last night are chanting at him, overrated. He's like, please. And Donovan Mitchell's like, stop, everybody, stop!
Please be quiet.
And my goodness. No, he's a heck of a player.
He is.
They're a very boring team. Like, I just don't, you know, like they're not, like, exciting. You wonder how they're good.
Right.
But they're good.
They are. And they're in great position now to win that series. Vegas, I thought, was going to blow Edmonton out of the building last night. They got up 2-0. And then Edmonton just does what they did basically last series, which is storm back. And they win 4-2, so they go on the road and take game one from the Vegas Golden Knights. And Carolina wins 2-1 in overtime. Jake Slavin, the game-winning goal in overtime last night for the Hurricanes. Carolina outshooting them. And remember, this game went to overtime. Carolina outshooting Washington last night 33-14. 14 shots on goal for Washington last night. That's what Carolina does, but man.
But that's insane in an overtime game.
Yeah. Pretty wild. So, another great night of the playoffs and the series in the second round that I'm looking forward to the most getting underway tonight, and that's the Dallas Stars and the Winnipeg Jets. So, we'll see how that goes for two Central Division teams around here. Joe, we got some breaking news in the NFL to get to that's happening this morning. We never get news in the morning, but we're getting some today. According to Adam Schefter, George Pickens is about to be traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Dallas Cowboys. Schefter putting it out there that the Cowboys and Steelers working to finalize a trade that sends Pickens to Dallas in exchange for draft pick compensation. The details of what exactly that draft pick compensation is have not yet been put out there, but whatever draft pick compensation is on the table, it looks like it's about to be finalized between Pittsburgh and Dallas, and the Cowboys about to acquire George Pickens. What do you make of that?
Well, there was a lot of talk about it, and I figured, okay, well, they're going to hold on to him and sign Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers will at least have, you know, some, even if they may get into conflicts right away, a talented receiver. But obviously Pickens is a headache, has been a headache there. It's like, you know, how do you weigh the talent, the playmaking versus the inconsistency and all the extra antics? So, I mean, it's a good talent add for the Cowboys. They're already kind of a circus sideshow anyway, I guess, so why not? Pittsburgh, though, I mean, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, am I more excited to sign with Pittsburgh now that they don't have him?
Probably not. I mean, whatever headache he was there, I mean, first off, Rodgers hasn't been a part of that, so he doesn't know the inner workings of how much of a headache George Pickens is. I'm sure that's come up in conversation there, but you know, we all know how talented he is. He's a really good player. So now you're looking at the receiving corps. At least you have Metcalf, so you do have DK Metcalf throw the ball to. But that combination, I think, would have been what made that even more intriguing if you're Rodgers here. So we'll see how that affects that and what that means. But I would imagine that this has probably been something that's been in the works for a while and does not take Aaron Rodgers by surprise, would be my guess.
Yeah, and that's probably true. Is he signing there, by the way? Does he care?
Don't know. I guess we'll see it at some point. It seems like the people still believe that he is. So we'll see.
Yeah, they've proceeded as if he is. I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess it just matters that he's there for their offseason stuff.
Yeah.
I guess that matters.
I guess. You would think that would be important coming into a new team.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
And you would think that Mike Tomlin wouldn't, you know, like the idea of a quarterback just sort of living on his own schedule like Aaron Rodgers has been lately.
Yeah, this is a very Cowboys move, right? Like, first off, you had Jerry Jones getting up there a few weeks ago. We're working on some trades. We got some trades that we're working on. And I guess this is one of them. So you can mark one off the list. But this does feel like a very Cowboys move, bringing in a guy that, by most accounts in Pittsburgh, has been difficult to deal with. And we'll see how that goes in Dallas. You know, typically that's a place where it's just a powder keg down there, man. You're just waiting on something to go wrong and things to go crazy. So welcome in George Pickens there.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, you've got the veteran quarterback.
Got CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, you got – I mean, like, if the sometimes a change of scenery can be a jolt for someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got to be a little bit disappointing for him to be like, man, I played this well, and they just couldn't wait to unload me for, like, draft picks TBD.
Maybe. Third round.
Third rounder?
Third rounder.
And then the late round pick swap of some sort.
Okay.
There you go.
You know, that's a little bit of a
– not really a heavy
price
either.
Maybe a wake-up call. Maybe go down there and – I mean, he's one heck of a player. You know, Pickens and Lamb, if you're Dak, you got to love what that could be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, they move on from McCarthy, and now you're trying to get back in a spot where your own division, where you're relevant again, right? Like, I mean, they had the NFC title game last year was in their division. It was Philadelphia and Washington. So that's what you're dealing with if you're the Cowboys. You're paying Dak a ton of money now with his new deal. So you got to find a way to get back in there. Like, I still, frankly, with the Cowboys, it's gotten to the point where I ask, okay, what will go wrong at some point? Because that's what eventually happens with that franchise in recent memory. But, I mean, on paper, him throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens is a pretty darn good combo out there. So, I mean, you would expect Dak, anyway, to have a pretty good year out there if they can stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine more Cowboys fans are excited about this than Steelers fans because, again, if you're a Steelers fan, it's like, okay, look, I understand this guy. He could act out sometimes, and he was very unpredictable, but, man, that's a lot of talent that you're shipping out, and it's just like, how are you excited about this season to come when you, again, even if you are sure that Aaron Rodgers is coming in? I mean, you know, Metcalf's getting a little older. It's just, I mean, it's not like they're a great defensive team anymore. I mean, the Cowboys, to your point, they are in an uphill climb in their own division, but I still think that they could realistically aspire to be a wild card team. I'm not sure the Steelers can in the AFC.
Well, how annoying was George Pickens? Because, I mean, think about Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin specifically and, like, some players that they've had go in there that they've dealt with for long periods of time. Like, hey, Antonio Brown was good there for a long time, and then he absolutely fell apart and went crazy. And then the Le'Veon Bell thing that they went through there, like, they've had, you know, obviously those are two different situations, but they've had some episodes off the field there that they've kind of dealt with and managed. And very quickly into George Pickens' career, they're like, yeah, okay, let's get this guy out.
Yeah, it does seem like, I mean, with Antonio Brown, it seemed like, I mean, there really wasn't much of that for a lot of, or at least it wasn't known to the outside. It was like that one day where he decided to just, like, record
everything
Tomlin's
in the locker room
game and put it on the internet. It was like, what's up with this dude? And then all of a sudden he's ripping his shirt off and just walking off the field. I was like, oh, gee, I feel like it totally just melted down for him late as opposed to like a constant source of, you know.
Yeah.
It just seems like, I mean, from some of the reporting around Pickens, you know, at times not prepared, you know, obviously emotional and stuff and getting in fights with people, things like that, but also like not always doing the stuff you're supposed to do. And that's, I mean, that's, like, especially you bring in Aaron Rodgers, like, Yeah, that's not going to fly.
Maybe right? Maybe this is what Rodgers is waiting on. It's like, I'm not signing until you get this guy out
it
here.
It could be. It could be. But, I mean, I also – like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, don't you – I don't know. I guess at his age, it's like, you know what, just give me people who I know are pros as opposed to trying to work with a young kid and make him see the light. Nah, that's okay.
Just get him out.
Just
I'll
get him
sign.
Out of there, then I'll come in. Maybe.
If he signs today, it would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh, good. Pickens is out of there. I'll come sign now. Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's go.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Some news in the NFL. George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys via trade. A third-round pick and a day-three pick heading back, or a day-three pick swap with the Cowboys and the Steelers. So the big carrot there for the Steelers is the third-round pick. So we'll see how that goes for the Cowboys and what that means for Dak Prescott now having George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb in the fold down there in Dallas. Coming up next, we'll get back into a little bit of our Preds conversation from yesterday. Joe's got a question to throw out there that, frankly, might have a depressing answer for Predators fans. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Nashville's best deal of the week, celebrating National Barbecue Month. Get $50 gift card to Central Barbecue in Capitol View for half off right now. You can try their new barbecue sampler, ribs, wings, and barbecue sliders. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We had a lot of response to basically our State of the Preds fan yesterday after the retention of Andrew Brunette and the draft lottery going as poorly as it possibly could have gone for the Predators as it relates to their possibilities on the table yesterday. Joe, appreciate the participation from everybody yesterday. And you've got a question you want to follow up with for Predators fans today that, frankly, I've been thinking about since I've known you're asking it. I think it's difficult to answer.
Yeah, basically, like, who's the player in this organization? And, again, a year ago on this, I would have said Yaroslav Askarov with the idea that eventually he's going to, take over and you're going to, have the young goalie sort of change eras. But what player in this organization right now at any level offers you the most hope as a Preds fan? Who are you most excited about? Because they've had, you mentioned like Kemmel. Yes, I feel like a couple of years ago it was like, oh man, watch. And again, I think Kemmel's gonna be good. I think he's gonna be a Pred. He's gonna play for the Preds. He's gonna end up being like a good pick. But maybe it's leveled off a little bit in terms of what you feel like the ceiling is, or the rate of progress. There are younger guys, of course, in the organization. I mean, I think, like, obviously Tanner Molendijk is an exciting young defenseman, but it seems like usually there has been at least one or two prospects in the organization that at a given time you feel like that could be a really high ceiling. And right now, it just doesn't. To me, it doesn't seem that way. But I just would be interested in what people would answer there.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. And I think if you wanted to, you can make a case for Molendijk. Like, I think they're really excited about him and the way that he's played in junior hockey. And I think that there's a chance he makes a team next year. Like, Barry Trotz was talking about him the other day and said that he's basically legitimately challenged for a spot the last 2 years in camp. Which I can tell you, like, Andrew Brunette, I think, was really considering keeping him a couple years ago in camp. So I think that kind of shows you the camp that he's had and the impact that he's left. So I think he's got a chance, a good chance, to make the team this year, and he can end up being a good player. Now, he's interesting because, Scott Wheeler from The Athletic and all these draft prospect gurus that are around the NHL, like, they look at the Predators' farm system, and they say, oh, yeah, it's good, but there's not really any great players in there, right? Like, that's basically their consensus. Like, Matthew Wood, what's he going to be at the NHL level? For a guy jumping from college to the NHL in the last part of the season, I thought he handled himself pretty well. Now, I also recognize that there's a difference between playing an 82-game NHL season and getting a bump coming up from college and playing, like, six games. So, we'll see if he's a factor. He's probably going to be better served going to Milwaukee this year and starting there and then seeing where they go. But, like, I look at it right now, and I think the answer is probably going to be whoever they draft here in the next few weeks is going to vault to the top of this list. But I think that's kind of the point, right? Like, you're looking on the current roster, it's hard to get excited about anybody on the current roster just because of the way the season just went. And those guys are a year older of who I think you would be excited about. So what does that mean? And I'm looking at the prospects, and I think they I alluded this a little bit yesterday. I think they have a lot of good prospects. Yeah. I'm not sure that they've got any great prospects, which is an interesting spot to be in for them.
Yeah, and again, like Evangelista, look, I mean, Evangelista, I know it was a, like with most people on this roster, it was a rough season, ups and downs, you know. Probably, you know, not what you were hoping for coming off the previous season. You go back to him when he's in Milwaukee, right? I mean, I just feel like there was a little bit higher hope for him at that point than what we've so far seen materialize. Doesn't mean, again, people can get better. People can get better at the highest level, in the highest league, in any sport. You know, that's possible. But I'm with you. It just seems like they've got a lot of guys who are, yeah, you know, pretty good. But they haven't produced through their – I mean, who's the last, like, star? I mean, especially, like, homegrown star that they've produced. I mean, Roman Josi, for sure.
I mean,
Forsberg technically is homegrown. But yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. It was a trade, but he went through everything. You could go with that.
But if you're talking star, I mean, depends on how you view it. Like, UC Saros was a star for a while. Now, a little bit worried about him at the moment. We'll see how that goes here. But, I mean, you're talking about, I think he was, what, a fourth rounder that they had? So, like, I mean, I would probably classify that. Like, he's a guy that I would put in there.
Arvidsson is a guy who, well, I think, got to – I don't know if he was quite a star, but that's a big success story.
For sure.
Also a fourth rounder, I think, right?
Yeah.
Who, so, by the way, is all over the ice last night.
He seems to fall down a lot.
Well, yeah.
He seems to fall down a lot out there. There's somebody that tweeted last week. They're like, Predators fans, and then he's also been in L.A. and somewhere else. He's like, does Arvidsson fall down this much all the time? He's like, yeah, he does. he has trouble staying on his feet. But, yeah, to your point, you know, we had the conversation yesterday about the first rounders, like the last first rounder the Predators took that's made, like, a big impact in the league. It's probably Fiala. Like, Fiala has been really good in Minnesota and L.A., and he showed flashes of it here, and then they traded him. And we talked about that, knowing he was probably going to be pretty good at the time. Like, they need somebody to hit to be, like, a really good player. Kemmel, like, look, Kemmel, it feels like he's been in Milwaukee forever. He's 21 still, so he's, you know, he's still a young kid. But, like, we're reaching the point with him where, you know, he's played, you know, like 140 games in Milwaukee. Like, it's time for him to come on and go. Like, yeah. it's time to start to see that at the next level.
Yeah, and again, I don't really look at this like a developmental thing. I look at it more of a choice thing. But it does. It feels like he leveled off, and obviously Tomasino is a disappointment as a first round pick. Tolvin, you know, those guys just weren't, I think, what they thought they were. As you said yesterday, yes, they've had more success going elsewhere, but not like tremendous success. They aren't as good as they hoped they were.
Right. Like, people,
and that'll continue through their careers.
People still freak out about them losing Elli Tolvanen. And I think a lot of it is because of they lost Elli Tolvanen for nothing.
Yes.
So that part of it, I understand. But I think sometimes, like, the way that people talk about him, I'm like, all right, are we talking about Elli Tolvanen or are we talking about Connor McDavid? Like, which one are we talking about here? Because, like, he's gone on to have he's carved out a good role for himself. Like, he is a good third line player, and he plays on the power play. He's a good third line player, and I'm not saying you can't use that. Like,
sure.
If Tolvanen this year had 23 goals and 35 points, which is fine. It's not like blowing the door off of anything, but it's fine. Like, could the Predators have used him this year? Sure, of course they could have. But, like, that's not irreplaceable player, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Right. And again, you go back to not that long ago, especially, you know, we talk about Josi, but also Ekholm and Ellis, right? Like, you grew and you're able to trade away Seth Jones. So, I mean, like, that you were at least churning out tremendous players on the blue line, you know, for a while. And that is even – and again, some of it is trading guys away when you're in your window and all that stuff. But It's kind of depressing, frankly.
It is. Like, they need some of their draft picks to turn into legitimate building block type players. And do they have anybody that can be that? I don't know. I mean, maybe Molendijk. You know, Molendijk, I like a lot about Molendijk. I think he can skate really, really well. I think he's probably got a lot of growing to do just in terms of strength and playing the game at the NHL level. But, like, I think he's got a chance to be a good player. So, like, it's not like they're devoid of talent in their prospect pool. But do they have anybody that is, like, a franchise pillar that's coming up? That's what you have to determine. And, frankly, that's what you hope you're getting out of the top five pick you're about to get.
You have to. I mean, you absolutely have to. Logan says, don't worry, guys. We got Cole Smith. Cole Smith just takes
Cole Smith strays. Is taking it no, this I mean, week on the text line.
What has he done? I thought we had this Cole Smith, you know, anger a couple years ago. But, like, I thought we'd kind of gotten past that. Apparently not.
He's a look, I understand some of the frustration because, you know, Cole Smith doesn't produce a lot of points. But he's a fine fourth-line player. That's what he is.
Yeah, there's a lot of – I mean, you put a lot of other people in there and, like, that's – he plays his role.
He's
like, what do you think he's supposed to
be? Annihilated on the text line this week. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Is it just Logan or how many different people are independent?
Oh, it's been more than Logan.
Independently attacking Cole Smith this week.
There have been probably four or five people that have independently attacked Cole Smith.
Did he have a weird TikTok or something?
I don't think so.
Recently? Like – what happened?
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. What is the player in the Preds organization that offers you the most hope moving forward? A more difficult question to answer than I thought. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, the game.
Barry, just want to get a quick thought about Luke Evangelista. He's one of your key free agents this summer. Just a few other small guys as well, but wanted to get your thoughts on where you may stand with him. He mentioned how there's no rush to get a deal done. He's got the entire summer, basically. So just wanted your thoughts on him.
If it was up to me, I'd have the deal done right now. I've talked to his agent, and his agent, we started the discussions. Obviously, Luke is one of the guys that we're going to have to get signed. Full intention to get him signed sooner rather than later. I'm just looking at my list of guys here. Obviously, Luke is a key young guy that we want to get signed. The other guys that we re-signed Murray and Krona, Hader on in the net on defense. Obviously, Jeremy Lauzon is a guy that he's coming back from basically missing a whole year. It's real key for us. I think we missed Losey, just as we miss Yost. I mean, those are two identity pieces that we missed for a long time. We'll see where we stand with him as he gets back this year. But we're already talking a little bit with his agent. Obviously, the agents at the same time are trying to get a feel for the market, so they're slowing things down a little bit at times. For the most part, we've got a couple of decisions on our drafts, but really don't have a lot on our plate. It's going to be Luke and a couple of younger or non-established guys.
That's Barry Trotz on Luke Evangelista, and then a myriad of other players.
Verbose. Verberry.
Evangelista, 32 points last year. 68 games for Evangelista. So, the year before, he had 16 goals, 39 points at 80 games, and looked like he had really figured it out at the end of the year. And then basically, like everybody else on the team, struggled this year. So we'll see what that means for him moving forward. Like, I still think he's got a chance to be a good player. Now, is Luke Evangelista going to be like a top-line winger for you? Probably not. But I still think he's got a chance to be a good player. I think it's a really important offseason for him. Like, he needs to come in and, like, there's so many things that are going to be part of the story of whether or not they rebound next year and get back to being a team that's competitive. We've talked about the goalie and obviously Stamkos and Marchessault and Forsberg and all those guys. He's a big part of it too. Like, they need him to come in next year and be a factor for them offensively. And he had a couple of nice games at the end of the year, but by and large was way too invisible out there this year.
Yep, I'm seeing already. Evangelista, next Tomasino, next Tolvanen, trade him. Won't be on this team after this year. Too small. I don't know. I'm a little more optimistic than all of that. But it kind of goes along with what we've been talking about, which is, man, is someone going to, you know, take that big leap and be like, oh, that's a dude?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan in Mount Juliet. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. The two players I see the best outfit for the Preds that are currently on the roster and signed, I want to say it would be Willsby and Svechkov. I think Svechkov has the ability to be the second-line center, a homegrown second-line center that needs. And I see Willsby has the ability to be a top-four defenseman. I'm not saying top-line defenseman, but second-pair defenseman, kind of like Ekholm, but a little bit more offensive side to him.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ryan. I do say, like, one of the really unfortunate parts of what was a long, drawn-out, unfortunate year for them was Willsby getting hurt, because I think he could have had a lot of valuable minutes down the stretch. I like him. I think he's got a chance to be pretty good. And, you know, it was interesting. We brought up Marchessault a lot. He said a lot at his end of season press conference, and he got to talking about all the young guys. And then he brought up Willsby by name. He's like, that guy's an NHL player. Like, that guy is good. And I'm interested to see what role he's got next year. I think he's got a chance to be good.
Yeah.
Now, is he going to be Roman Josi? That's a heck of a bar.
And Svechkov, I agree. You know, like, there are players, there are some good young players who can be good players.
And which you need.
You need those.
Yeah.
You absolutely need those. You need depth on your team. You need quality throughout the lineup. So that's important, you know.
Do they have any stars?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Really going to drive the play.
Because
who is that?
You know, Barry Trotz,
who they draft.
He keeps talking about threading the needle, right? Like, he talks about the young guys that they've got coming up and trying to thread that needle of waiting on those young guys to be ready while also remaining competitive with the current group. And obviously they failed miserably at that this year. Could they be any better at it next year? We'll see. But, like, I think part of that is going to have to be some young guys coming in and playing really well for
them. Overperforming.
Yeah, and playing, like, being more ready quicker than they thought. Like, that's going to have to be probably part of this. If they're going to get to where they want to get to and being competitive, and do they have anybody that can do that? That's really kind of the genesis of this question.
You know, it would help us if some of these old guys who have been great players play more like great players.
That would also help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
probably help those young guys,
like,
look
better. Svechkov is interesting. Like, Svechkov, you know, he's got some good speed to him, particularly for his size. He's a guy that every now and then he'll flash a play where it's like, man, that's a pretty highly skilled play that he had there. Now, you get to the end of it, and he played 52 games for the Predators, and he had 17 points. He had 8 goals, 9 assists. Which, by the way, like, Barry Trotz has talked about this. He probably wasn't ready to play in the NHL, and then he just did. Like, he had to. And I think he equipped himself nicely. And I do think he's got a chance to turn into, like, a nice middle six type of center. Second line, third line, somewhere in that area. But, again, like, is he going to be a top line guy? I kind of have my doubts about that. Which is not a bad thing. Like, they need these players.
Yeah.
Like, they need good players. But they also need a couple guys to come in and be great players. And I'm wondering where those guys are.
Yeah, because this year is still – yeah, there's threading the needle. But, I mean, this next year is still 100% about, you know, your high-paid top players turning it around and being great. I mean, you need the support. You need some pleasant young player surprises. You know, it's down the road where, you know, right now there's a big drop off between the highest level of these older guys and what we can see of the young guys. There's a big drop off. It's not like, if that's the core of your team, you don't have a good team.
Right. Exactly. So how quickly can that change? And then, you know, a guy that we've not seen play in North America yet is David Edstrom, who they got last year as a part of that Askarov trade. So we'll see on him. Like, I think he's coming over, and I imagine he'll probably be in Milwaukee next year for the full year, and we'll see what that looks like. Maybe he's got a chance to make the team out of camp. I don't know. But, like, it would also be nice. Like, you moved on from Askarov, and we'll see what he ends up being in San Jose. But, like, frankly, like, I look at San Jose, and you could see what they're building, right? Like, they've got Celebrini. They've got Smith. They're in desperate need of, like, one of those stud defensemen, which they don't have at the moment, which they're probably now not going to get with the draft lottery falling the way that it did. but they've got a building block where you could see in 5 years they could be pretty darn good, right? Like the Predators, what are they in 5 years? I don't know.
This pick they're about to make better be a huge part of whatever they are.
Yeah, I agree. Like you need him to hit, and you know, is their prospect pool good enough where in the next 2 or 3 years they can drive your team? Because that's Barry Trotz has said that's what he's waiting on, is for them to be the players that are driving the team. Well, can they do that? If not, you're up a creek at that point.
Yeah, but there's going to have to be some developments from right now that are like, oh, okay. And I just feel like they've had way too many. I don't just feel like. I think it's true that they've just had too many in the last several years that are just like underwhelming. They need something that's overwhelming.
Well, we've gotten this question a lot the last couple of days on the text line. Like, when are the last draft picks that have made huge impacts for them? Like, not just, oh, he had a nice couple of weeks, or oh, he had a nice half a season for the Predators, and then they moved on. Like, had big, significant impacts for this team. When's the last time that happened? Soros?
Guys. You know, Fiala was coming into his own, then he gets hurt during the Cup run. Yeah. It was good the next year, President's Trophy team.
Yeah. But it's been a while. Like, that's a long time ago at this point. And again, I said it yesterday, they went through a stretch, you know, basically from 2016 to about 2020, where they were trading away a lot of futures, right? And eventually
Sammy Jard is a guy who would have been here.
Right. Like, that eventually catches up to your prospect pool. And I think we all remember, like, when Barry Trotz took over this job, it was pretty bare back there on the prospect pool. And they have done a nice job of getting it to where it's good. But can you get it to where it's great?
I guess you could make the case that Tanner Jeannot had his time here where he was making quite an impact.
He was, but again, that was for like 4 months.
Yeah.
You know?
They got a lot for him.
They did. I mean,
so there's that.
There was that. I mean, they did get an absolute ton that they're still benefiting from. So the point is they really are in desperate need of some young guys to come in and not only make the team, but to be driving forces of what they do. And I don't know how realistic that is as soon as next year.
Leroy on the YouTube chat says, big trade, Edmonton. Give Edmonton Forsberg, Yosi, Stamkos, Crazy Kyle for McDavid in a fifth.
Crazy Kyle to Edmonton.
That is a perfect. Yeah, the Crazy Kyle part, that might be a non-starter, man. Yeah. Dude's out there playing me some Cure songs and some like obscure, you know, like New Order stuff. I mean, you know.
I mean, I will say, again, we'll see how it goes. I mean, the way they're going right now, they might go on to win the Stanley Cup. But it is going to be interesting to see what Connor McDavid decides to do here. Like, if they get put out again, let's say Vegas comes back and win this series and they're out in the second round, he's got a year left on his deal. So he can sign an extension this offseason with Edmonton. If I was him, I wouldn't. I would wait and see how next year goes and see what your options are after that. Now, that's me. He kind of is a different bird with the way that he kind of marches to the beat of his own drum. He doesn't really like going through all that stuff, so we'll see what he decides to do. But I'm just saying, like, if he gets through this offseason, McDavid, and has not signed an extension with Edmonton, how many teams start looking at their cap situation next year and saying, huh, well, maybe we ought to be ready for that just in case? I don't know.
What if they win it all this year? Does that make it less or more likely that he would be like, okay, I've delivered it to you, Edmonton, now I need to leave Edmonton?
Well, look,
I gotta stay with this now.
I can't tell you how he personally feels about, like, who it'd be great to live anywhere that's not Edmonton. And I don't, like, he talks all the time about his driveway that he bought that apparently is a heated driveway. It's like, well, it'd be great to live somewhere where you didn't need a heated driveway.
Yeah.
So I can't answer that part of it. My guess is if they win the Cup, he's probably gonna re-sign there. We'll see.
Interesting. No, that's a big one right there.
Again, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it yet. I'm just saying, if he gets all the way through the offseason and has not signed an extension in Edmonton, I do think you're going to see a lot of teams around the league with kind of one eyebrow up in the air saying, huh.
Oh, and that's all we'll be talking about in the league. Yeah. Everyone posturing for Connor.
615-737-1025 would kind of be like when Wade and LeBron and Bosch and all those guys became a free agent back in 2010. It's like, huh, what can we do with this?
Left your beloved Heat.
Well, they joined my beloved Heat.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That was when they came in.
Yeah. That's right. 615-737-1025.
Taking their talents
to Miami. Our phone number. We'll get into the Titans coming up next in a position that I'm not sure the Titans should be done addressing this offseason. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, speaking of the Titans, still a position that I think is of dire need for the Titans heading into this year that I'm interested to see now that we've gotten through the first wave of free agency and the draft has come and gone. Do the Titans continue to try to take some swings here and address? And that is, of course, edge rusher. We talked the other day about edge rusher and how, like, you know, they just took Oladejo in the second round, and maybe he ends up being a really good player for them for a long time. We'll see. He is a guy that just started playing the position, that had limited production playing the position in college, and that I think it's not a huge leap to say, Joe, that that could be more of kind of a project that you're trying to bring along as he learns here. Like, it would be surprising to me if Oladejo comes in and he's some 10-sack guy immediately in his NFL career. I'd be surprised by that. Now, at the moment, I'm looking at the roster, and he's going to have to play. Like, he's going to have to play significant snaps for the Titans, which is fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But I do look at the rest of the edge rusher room, and as somebody brought up on our text line yesterday, like, Arden Key's the guy right now. Arden Key is, like, your edge rusher that you probably maybe feel the best about, and I don't know that that's a great spot to be. So, there are still some interesting options that are out there potentially at edge rusher. Should the Titans pursue him? I mean, people have brought up Za'Darius Smith, who is older and has
Big
been
Z.
around. And my guess is, I don't know this, my guess is probably would like to play for somebody that has a chance to win a Super Bowl, but I don't know how he's approaching that. But at the moment, he's not landed anywhere. So guys like that, there are some interesting options that are still out there that clearly are not great options because they haven't been signed yet to this point in the NFL. But should the Titans continue to pursue edge rusher this offseason, in your opinion?
The edge, yes, but like the edge rusher list of guys available, it's an absolute just goldmine of names that make you like, ooh, but then you have to ask yourself, why are they available? And then, how far past their prime are they? Big Z, who I thought was okay with the Lions. I mean, I thought he came in and helped them a little bit. So Matthew Judon is out there. Is that correct? Matt Judon is unclaimed. Am I
believe that is correct. Double check.
Guys who've been out there unsigned: Judon, Big Z, Von Miller, Preston Smith, DeMarcus Walker, Carl Lawson. Like, a lot of guys, you're like, not long ago, you would have given something up for guys like that, but that's how quickly things go on you in the NFL. So, which of those guys are, one, still capable of making plays at a decent price, but also capable of coming here and helping your room? Because, again, I like Arden Key. He's a fun guy. He's a big friend and fan of Paul Kuharsk.
Yes.
But
I think Judon's still available, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, any of these guys able to come in? Because I do. I think that the Harold Landry move takes away absolutely a leader by example, without question. A leader by example, someone who does it right every day, pro, good thing to have, especially when, again, you're trying to – you got the young guy you just drafted, you got other young guys in there, mm-hmm. and who knows if any of them will work out. It's not the most important. The most important thing is you get any production at all from some of these guys, but it'd also be good to have a leader.
Well, you've got
Von Miller, I've always thought of as a leader.
I would agree. Now, if I'm Von Miller, I don't know if I've got much interest playing for the Titans, frankly.
Yeah, I think the only way any of these guys do is if it's just it's like the Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins thing. He was like, well, that's clearly the most money anybody's offered me. So, and also, Hopkins didn't know he was coming into a bleep show. He thought he was coming into a good team.
Right. And, you know, Za'Darius Smith is out there. Preston Smith is out there. Now, both those guys are 32. They'll be 33. You've got guys like, you know, DeMarcus Walker that is out there who, you know, none of the options right now are great.
We all know the names.
We all know the names, but none of the options are great. But, like, frankly, if you're the Titans with where you're at with that position right now, would it not be worth maybe just trying to take a flyer on one of these guys and seeing if they've got anything left in the table? And if they don't, well, then they don't. But right now, to me, like, you're so light at that position, I would not hate them, like, saying, you know, Preston Smith, come in, let's see what you got.
Yeah. Just to have another body, absolutely. I think it'd be worthwhile. And we'll see how it shakes out with, like, UDFA guys. I don't even – off the top of my head, I don't recall – I'm sure they sign one or two guys in the UDFA front, and sometimes you can get, you know, someone who can get into the rotation or push for the 53 and out of that pool. But yeah, I think that going for the veteran answer here, it's such a barren room. I think it's got to be a serious consideration, right?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Should the Titans pursue more options at edge rusher now that the first wave of free agency and the NFL draft is behind us? We'll take your thoughts on that. Plus, an interesting storyline in the AFC South that I'm paying very, very close attention to heading into the season. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.